Nigga, they didn't cancel the NBA. The NBA? Nigga, not SARS, not Ebola, not bird flu. But the corona, this particular brand of the coronavirus, then canceled the NBA. What's happening, good people? Welcome to episode 33 of the David Ashley Podcast. I am your host, David Silver. We're going to talk about a few things today. We're going to talk about a conversation I had with this old dude from Iran that was pretty interesting. Stock market is definitely crashing due to scares about the coronavirus. The NBA, anyway, we're going to talk about how I realized I was trash in relationships. We're going to talk about dating. We're going to talk about mental health or perceived mental health. You got to be around people. Anyway, we're going to talk about that and a bunch more. Stay with me. So first of all, let's address the elephant in the room. There was no show last week. Now, just now as I'm saying this, I realized that somebody checked their joint last Thursday, their podcast, received, whether it be a phone or whatever, and didn't see the podcast and thought to themselves, damn, Dave ain't got a podcast this week. And that, for that, I apologize, but that also makes me feel warm inside. I had somebody reach out and tell me that one of the songs I talked about some weeks back is their joint now. So I appreciate that. Shout out to Shep. Last week, honestly, I got busy doing something and I just didn't prepare anything to talk about. Not that this show is, super produced anyway, but anyway, I apologize for that. So we're going to get right into it. I'm going to go over a few like light joints before I go into the heavy shit. Talk to this old dude from Iran. My man's name was Frank. And Frank was probably about 80, 81, 82. Frank was from Iran. Frank was a architect. Frank moved right after the revolution or right before the revolution in Iran, something like that. Back in 82 or no, maybe 77, whenever that was, do the math. And he was an architect over there. And, but what he said, when you're an architect over there, they pay you a shitload of money. That's how he put it. And, something happened where, as the revolution was happening, he had to get himself and his family up out of there. Which was just him and his wife at the time, if I'm not mistaken, his first wife. And, I asked him who really wanted to come. He said it was her. She didn't have any problem with coming, he said, because she knew that if she divorced him, she could get half in America. And he didn't know that. So he said, obviously architects aren't paid nearly as much in America, but his wife, his first wife was up on game. And, they got divorced. He said, she took all my money. And in the meantime, he started a business with a friend. They bought up a lot of property in the late 80s, and just there was a stock market crash, and he said they lost almost everything. And so my man ended up getting married again, and even though he never told me how he got his money back, because I'm assuming that he had some money, he lives with his daughter, and because he's older, and his daughter is, I guess, a successful lawyer, a successful divorce lawyer at that, marriage and family attorney. And she begged him to come live with her, which is, you know, that's where he lived. They got a nice house too. And so he was telling me how he, you know, I asked him, does he ever get back to Iran? And he said, he's like, yeah, man, I went back. I ain't been back in about 5 years. He said, I went back and I was only supposed to spend a month. He said, but I ended up spending a whole year there. And he said, the last month I spent with a lady. He said, I spent with a lady in a hotel. He said, but Iran, they kind of, they look down upon, like, you know, I guess if you ain't married, you know, saying a woman can't be living with you. So they got a temporary marriage license. He said she was cool, you know, because I buy her all kind of nice things. And, you know, I told her, hey, we're probably going to be having sex and this and that. And he was like, she wasn't with it at first. And then she told him, don't call her no more. I don't know what you think I am. And he was like, okay, I'm sorry. You know, he said, so a month later, after she came back from a trip with her mother, I guess, because she was taking care of her mother, she called him back. She was like, so we going to do that? And then he said they spent a month together, and it was great. And, you know, they got the marriage absolved or whatever. And then, you know, he came back to America. But I was just like, this is the craziest shit. A player, you know. And like I said, he was probably in his late 70s then, because he's 80. I think he's early 80s now. But it was just a fantastic, it was just an insane conversation. Anyway, yeah, he was like, whatever you do, don't get married, man. He said, you're too old now. I'll put you out of my car, old dude. So the stock market is crashing. I ain't really have a whole lot of, listen, do yourself a favor and get Robinhood. Robinhood is, you know, you can, and I think Chase has it too, where you could just kind of invest from your phone. But get Robinhood, get Acorn, have them take, you know what I'm saying? You can either, there's a roundup function, so if you spend 87 cents, it'll be like, hey, you know, you could just automatically set it to round up every purchase, right? And that 13 cents would go, you know, in like a money market account or index fund, something like that. And, you know, the shit adds up, you know, or you can have them take a minimum of $5 every week, $5, you know, however much you want, you know what I'm saying? But you can control what they take is the point. But yeah, get you Robinhood. Robinhood is where you can kind of invest. You can search the prices and all this other kind of, get all the information on all the, you know, all the companies. But take advantage of this, man. I mean, the stocks are going to be down. Take advantage of the ones that, you know, do a little research, you know, and just kind of go in on a few stocks. Because listen, there's a market correction every, you know, 10 to 13 years or so. So, which means that it's going to crash and then it's going to come back up, you know. So, historically, these things are always going up. It's just that 08 was really bad, you know what I mean? 08 was really bad. But yeah, take advantage of it. Check out, you know what I'm saying? Research, but take advantage of some of these stock prices being low. And get yourself some. And then once you see, and listen, the gains that you see now are not going to be the same kind of gains, right? Because when the stock market goes back up, you're not going to see the same kind of gains immediately. But over time, you know, it's worth it. And so, yeah, anyway, that's about it. We're about to get into the topics right now. Okay, well, let me give you a backstory. So when I was in, when I came to LA for the first time, and this ain't an important part of the story, I met this dude and who was an actor. And so we became MySpace friends. And, you know, we would keep in touch because he was out here in LA. And I was, you know, I hadn't moved here yet. It would still be a year before I would move here. So anyway, one day, you know, I'm lurking on MySpace as you do, and I see one of his friends, and it was this beautiful girl, man. She was, I mean, you know, so immediately I'm lurking. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't remember if on MySpace, could you add somebody as a friend or follow them? How did you get in somebody's sphere? I forgot. But either way it go, I ended up in her, like, not her inbox, but there was like the inbox and there was a page and there was like a place where you would blog. I'm remembering all this. So anyway, just, you know, just, and this is like 06 and I'm all in her, you know, I'm commenting on stuff, just flirting or whatever. And so anyway, nothing comes out of it. And so fast forward, I moved to LA, and the same guy who's a little bit more popping now, he invites me out. So this is, you know, maybe like 08 now. This is, you know, a couple years later. And I see old girl at the party. Now, again, this isn't, I'm just giving you the order of things and just how you just never know what's going on. I still don't know, but I have a little bit more insight. So, you know, I run up on her and I talk to her. I'm like, hey, she does not remember me. She wasn't trying to hear it. I'm like, all right, I get it. You know, I keep it moving. And I remember like, and I didn't say that. So anyway, fast forward to 2016, right? A whole 8 years later, I'm on Facebook and I see, I'm friends with this, oh shit, I forgot how I was friends with that person. That's crazy. I'm friends with this one person and I see this girl on the comment thread. So immediately, I'm like, wow, this is my shot again. And I found out she lives in LA. So I feel bad because this story ain't really going nowhere. Find out she lives in LA. So I'm as the young kids say, I'm instantly, throw that little ad, you know what I'm saying, the ad on Facebook. The friend request. I get it. You know, I hit her in the inbox. I was like, hey, how you doing? I said, I know you. I should have said who I know her through. That's what I should have said. But I was like, hey, you know what I'm saying? I met you a long time ago at a party. I didn't even mention Facebook, you know, MySpace. Why didn't I mention that? That's crazy. And I was just like, anyway, I was just giving an ad, man. I saw you lived out here now. Just saying what up. She was like, oh, thanks for the, you know, whatever. She's like, I never forget a face. I'm like, shut up, man. You don't know who I am. So, and then like, you know, so we didn't really say too much. That was it. I mean, I said happy birthday, and then there was no other action. Now, throughout the years, there's been some, you know, comment section, but comments on each other's posts. But I would look at all right. So this is what I came here to say. If you know somebody, some people post social media. You got to figure out why you're on social media. What's it do for you? What's it doing to you? And this is why I say this. If you post something every day, I mean, long paragraphs or whatever, and nobody likes it, and nobody comments on it, or maybe one person likes a story, but you can go several stories without somebody, I mean, you know, several posts without anybody liking it. To me, that's a red flag. I think it's a red flag for what kind of person you are. Because who are you talking to? Like me, you know me, if you're my Facebook friend, you know I post fairly regularly. Like sometimes you'll get a long story, sometimes you'll get a heartfelt message, you know, most times you'll get something that I thought was interesting, right? And I'm not saying, you know, every once in a while I get a post. See, and this is not about trying to post things that people like. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that figure out why you're posting. And if you got friends who post like this, check on them. If you know them well enough, check on them. This young lady, you know how you can just tell when somebody is writing something, just where their headspace is? And not that I ever got depression from this young lady, but just things she would write just didn't seem to resonate with what I thought to be true. Now, that doesn't really mean anything. But one day, she posted about Meghan Markle. And Meghan Markle, you know, married Prince Harry, and now they're, you know, Prince Harry, you know, they denounced their title. They're going to move to Canada, start a brand, whatever. But this was around about the time they got married. She posted this long post using pictures saying, essentially, I'm paraphrasing. She's saying, hey, Meghan Markle, you think you're slick, but I know what you did. And I know you'll try to deny what you did, but you've been stealing my outfits for years. And I'm tired of it. So I hope that you're prepared. I'm talking about some crazy shit. And I'm a comment creeper. So I'm looking at the comments and people are like, question mark? Huh? Are you okay? What's the problem? I'm not saying nothing because I'm looking at it like, man, what the fuck is going on? And nothing ever really came of it except for that. But I just remember being like, for me, again, that was another red flag. And every time she would post, I would look at her pictures just to see what kind of pictures. She seemed to be, you know, she seems to have tried, you know, started some businesses and been in competitions for different businesses and this and that. So I'm like, okay, so she's not people show you what they want to. But I just remember being like, what is going on? So recently, 2 days ago, or let's take it back to the 8th, maybe. To the 8th, she posted about, like, how it was hard to live abroad because apparently she was living in another country now. And, and rewind. It's crazy, like, literally right after I added her as a friend, a week later, I was at a stoplight and she walked across the street, like in front of my car, and I tried to wave her down. She didn't see me. Anyway, it doesn't mean anything. I just thought it was very, literally a week after I added her on sent a friend request. So anyway, fast forward to now. She says it's apparently something that happened with some money. She tried to get some money from some family and friends, and her account got hacked, and you know, it was hard to get the money back, and it was just, and again, this long thing. And I'm like, okay, if this thing has happened to you, none of these people that you're talking about are on Facebook. Now, I understand everybody's not on Facebook, but normally the people you hang around, the people who you would borrow money from, the people who would send you money if you're in a bind, those people are liking your post and all this other kind of shit on Facebook. It's just, that's just the way it is. People that you rock with. And it wasn't really, that post wasn't really weird, but it was, but at the same time, again, it had the same patterns. Then on the 10th, she writes this post that starts with, I'm going to call her Tabitha. It said, rest in peace, Tabitha. It's too bad that no matter how well people, you treated people, and no matter how bad they treated you, that you always loved them and you never judged them. Too bad you never got to get your business started or meet somebody and get married and have kids. Too bad you were never able to be a success. I really tried. Too bad no one else cared. But just know that I cared. It was like, it read like a suicide letter to herself. So again, dozens of posts with one or two people liking it, one person commenting on it, like every 10th post. And then all of a sudden, when she writes this letter, it got up to 44 comments of people just saying, hey, anybody heard from Tabitha? Tabitha, are you okay? Tabitha, you're scaring us, girl. Tabitha, what's the problem? Tabitha, what are you doing? Like, why are you talking like this? Tabitha, this, that. And the shit was scary, but it was fascinating. Because I kept checking back in with the post, you know, as more comments would fill in and more people would, you know, kind of check with each other saying, hey, have you heard something? No, I called her phone. I called the number that Facebook had for her. Nobody answered. I called, this number is disconnected. Does anybody have her number? So I'm like, so none of these people have her number? Oh, this friend says she talked to her right after she posted on Instagram. One friend says she talked to her on Instagram right after she posted this on Facebook. And, you know, I checked the next day. There were more comments. And so I check it today. And the post was gone. And the last couple of posts were gone. And I was thinking, like, what, you know, what has happened? I took that as a, you know, a good sign, meaning she hasn't done anything to herself. Because obviously she's still alive to take the post down. But, and it was wild because it was a couple times I started to, like, delete her as a friend. Because I just, you know, we didn't share the same point of view. And I just, overall, I just felt like she was on planet Mars. But you know, I'll check back in with her. Like I said, we only have one friend in common. Well, I take that back. I don't even know she's friends with the other actor dude anymore. But we got one Facebook friend in common. So you know, if I see her again, you know, I'll check on it. But anyway, sorry for the long drawn out story. told you it wasn't leading too many places, but, you know, check on your people, man. Man, you know, I know you got a lot of Facebook friends, and but, you know, watch how you're posting. What are you posting about? Get somebody on your team. Don't, like, I have a problem with isolating myself. But, so, you know, I'm going to, you know, do better about, but still, like, if I was gone for, you know, people would check on me. You know what I mean? But still, surround yourself with some people, man. Talk to people if you're having issues. Go get some therapy, for real. Anyway, that's it. Let me tell you, excuse me, how I found out I was trash. First of all, I only use that for effect. I hate that that word has seeped into our, psyche the way it has. I understand it's a new slang word every once, you know, every 6 months, but trash. I remember trash. I think Insecure introduced trash into the lexicon. So it's been there for about 2+ years now. So I'm not going to say that I am trash, but, you know, listen, I was thinking back to, you know, I haven't been on a date in a long time. And I was thinking back to the dates that I have had, you know, just memorable dates. And then as I think about the actual relationship to come after, I was horrified to find that I didn't remember any of the dates that came after, like during the relationship or during the courtship. And I'm like, wait, did I just do what it took to get them? And then stop dating them? I was like, no, I'm a romantic dude. No, I'm aware that you get comfortable in relationships. There's no way in all these different situations that I got comfortable. No, I'll take that back. Not that I got comfortable, but that I got that comfortable. And the truth is, I think I did. I got really comfortable. And I can't think of too many more dates that I went on afterwards. Like, where I just, you know, was like, hey, you know, so I'm gonna take you out. Surprise, this and that, blah. You know, split out. And I don't know, it just makes, first of all, for one of those relationships, it makes sense what happened and how that relationship played out. Not that me not dating was the reason it went bad, but I'm positive it was a contributor to the way that particular relationship went left. I'm like, I mean, this just goes to show, this is why you have to do a constant sweep, a self-assessment on yourself, on your relationships with friends, and on your relationships with significant others and family as well. Because, like, you got a blind spot, and you're not really, you know, once you get bogged down with life and inundated with, you know, the responsibilities of the daily grind, it's hard to take a scan Well, it's hard to see what you're doing wrong. It's not hard to take a scan if you, you know, just kind of. I'm about to read this book. Oh God, I wish I knew the name of this book. Oh, you know, I'm gonna tell you the name. I'm gonna tell you the name of this book right now. But anyway, the guy who wrote the book is essentially, the book is about very small habits that lead to bigger change, right? And, you know, for instance, it's like he said every time, you know, he looked at, every time he got ready to make, you know, when he make a mistake and when he got mad, or I tell you this, he said, every time I'm in traffic and somebody made me angry, I say, you know what? That person probably got a lot on their mind today. And if you inject that kind of thinking every time somebody, you know, does you wrong, you'll start to change the way you see life, the way you kind of look at life and the way you look at others, right? So we can do that same thing with, you know, whether it be making your bed in the morning or watching how you talk to yourself after you've made a mistake, or, you know, you can change the way you look at your spouse. And I think the thing that I was talking about, self-assessment, that's why it resonated so much for me when I heard it, because I was like, you know what? This guy is on to something, and I'm going to read the book. Wait a minute, what's his name? His name is B.J. Fogg. He's the author and social science research associate at Stanford, and discusses his approach to changing behavior growing up in the Mormon faith. He's got a book called Tiny Habits. So anyway, check that book out. I'm going to be reading it. Just from hearing his interview, I heard him on an Armchair Expert podcast with Dax Shepard, which is really good. Like, if you, you know, if you can stand a certain amount of mayonnaise on your sandwich, you can dig it. Dax seemed like a cool dude. But anyway, you got to do self-assessment, man. You got to. Otherwise, you'll start looking at yourself in this unrealistic way, you know, and that's how relationships go awry. Not just, you know, romantic, especially romantic, right? Family, you kind of got to rock with them. You kind of can't choose them. Although, you can still set boundaries and barriers, but with like those kind of, you know, friendships and romantic relationships, that's how most people get divorced, right? You sprinkle, like, it's about, I think marriage and relationships is about catching those fires before they get bigger, right? Smoldering those fires before they get bigger. And sometimes you don't know when the fire's brewing. That's why you have to do like a constant check on yourself and on the relationship, just so you can catch something, you know, because even if a woman ain't gonna tell you, she's like, no, I'm fine, right? You'll probably know your woman well enough to be like, oh, she's not fine. Let me scan my mental Rolodex to see what she ain't telling me. Now, work on communication, because she should be talking to you. You should be talking to her. But in the meantime, just do it like a little scan, man, and make sure everything good. You know what I'm saying? We tend to be like, no, I'm good, man. You know what I'm saying? If she ain't going to apologize for that one thing she did to me, then goddamn it, I ain't going to check and see what's wrong with it. You know, and I feel like that's the natural inclination that we have, but it's not a productive one, you know, especially when you talk about being with someone for, you know, a long time. I'm talking all this shit, but just wait till I get a relationship. I'm going to forget all this shit. No, I'm not, man. I think I'm ready for, I don't know, I'm ready to at least test out, you know, all this shit I'm talking. But anyway, to all the girls I have loved and lost before, I apologize for not continuing to court you. You gotta continue to date her. You got to. You gotta keep doing this weird shit. You gotta keep shaking up. I know y'all been married. I know y'all been together 14 years. I know y'all have been together 7 years. But you gotta find ways to shake it up, even within the daily grind. You know, you gotta steal a moment. You know what y'all like to do. You know what she won't go for, what she will go for. Man, steal off, man. Get you something at lunch or something like that. You know what I mean? It ain't just sex. I mean, like, you know, buy her some lingerie or some shit that, you know, with no expectation. Not even no lingerie. Just do something. I think I said this a few weeks back. Do shit that's going to build a bank of, like, credit for you. You know what I mean? And just do wild shit. Just do weird, spontaneous shit, man. Buy her something. Just book a day trip somewhere. You know what I mean? And don't even wait till the anniversary, man. What Raphael Sneak say? Said, man, tell your boss, tell your supervisor you leaving early today. And I'm willing to pay for the rest of your day. Sorry, that high note was full of shit. But you know, do something like that, man. You know, I saw this video where the dude, it was like a sketch, where the wife came home. She was like, babe, what's going on? What's going on? The dishes. She's like, babe, I'm about to do the dishes. He was like, oh, I did that already. And she went down the line, the bedroom, the laundry. And he had done all of that. She was getting hornier and hornier, you know. So anyway, guys and girls, I hate when we just direct this to guys, but you know, fellas, that part of us that it is on, man, don't start courting that lady, man. You know, it's easy to fall into a routine. Damn, I'm sorry, ladies. I didn't continue to court you, man. That's crazy. Not to say I never got, like, flowers for no reason or no shit like that, but anyway. Okay. I was trash. Whatever. I'm gone. This goddamn coronavirus. So, I didn't get spooked. I mean, I was concerned. I didn't get spooked until they canceled the rest of the NBA season. They were talking about playing games, you know, with no audience, with no crowd. And I was like, you know, we making jokes and shit. But yo, they canceled a fourth of the NBA season. So this coronavirus, it basically is coronavirus. Let me show you how, first of all, let me just say this. None of this shit would have gone far enough if it were for, you know, if people just had the common decency to do what? Wash your hands. Sneeze and cough into your elbow, right? So as to not spread the thing at 24 miles per hour out of your mouth, you know, into a car, into an office, into a, you know, open space. It's like, niggas, just do, and not just nigga, white niggas, all kind of, like, just be considerate. Anyway, this coronavirus, it's, I like it, it's scary. I ain't gonna lie to you. Now it's getting scary. So let's look at some of the facts, right? The coronavirus has been out. This is just a specific strand of the coronavirus. If I'm not mistaken, MERS was a kind of coronavirus. And the big thing people were saying was that, oh, the flu kills way more people than the coronavirus. Well, I was like, we don't really have stats on that, right? Because this thing has only been going since mid-December, you know? And, China, per the reports, there was a doctor who started alerting people, just like a fucking contagion movie. There was a doctor who started alerting people, and the Chinese government was like, yo, fam, chill out. Cool out with that shit. Like, trying to downplay it. And he was like, no, for real. Like, this is some real shit. People are catching it. They downplayed it. That doctor died. Right? That doctor died from the coronavirus. So, coronavirus disease, COVID-19 is the name of this particular strand, is an infectious disease caused by a new virus that had not been previously identified in humans. The virus causes respiratory illness, like the flu, with symptoms such as a cough, fever, and in more severe cases, pneumonia. You can protect yourself by washing your hands frequently and avoiding touching your face. So, I hate my voice goes so loud when I start talking so high. So, the ways in it, that it's different than the flu is that the flu, you can't really catch through the air. And this one you can because of these droplets, right? And apparently this coronavirus stays on surfaces longer so that you can, it leaves residue for you to catch. And at first I thought that the mortality rate was a little, first of all, hardly any kids are catching it, if any. And most of the people that are catching it, including the ones that are mostly dying from it, are older smokers because it is a respiratory situation. And like there was a nursing home in Seattle in which, like 20 people caught it. I might be off on that number, but a significant, amount of people caught it in this one place. Italy has been quarantined. That part of China has been quarantined. Was it Wuhan? I got you all in check. I've been wanting to say that for 3 weeks. I'm sorry. Wuhan. Never mind. I blew that. Shout out to Dante. Every time I blow something, Cuzzo will look at me. And it'll be so, like, I can feel it to this day. Every time I blow a joke, I know he's looking at me. Parts of Italy, the Louvre, parts of France, been shut down. The Louvre, you can't go in the Louvre no more. I mean, at least not for now. They're banning gatherings of over 1,000 people. They canceled South by Southwest, which is a big festival in Austin, Texas. NCAA, start playing games without fans. And finally, Rudy Gobert from, French dude, for the Utah Jazz, was the catalyst, right? A couple days ago, after the press conference, after a game, he touches all the mics, like with his hands, like as a joke about the virus. And now he's got it. And there's video of Utah against Oklahoma City, and they stop it, and then they wait for a while, and then they get the call one by one. It was like, yo, get the teams off the court. This game is canceled. A freaking NBA game is canceled. Now, where I have, because this is what prompted the NBA to at first consider playing games without fans, and now they have shut down, they have canceled the NBA. this shit is unprecedented. See, and this is where, because although I understand that it's taking people out, nigga, we didn't do this for SARS. SARS is just was more deadly and as infectious. For Ebola, Ebola is the goddamn disease goat. As far as like what it does to you and how you can catch it, we didn't do this with the bird flu, which bird flu ain't the same as the regular flu because it does the same thing this one does. Like you can catch it essentially the same way you catch, you know, freaking bird coronavirus. So, you know, I don't understand how we're here. Seeing as how this thing, like there has to be more information that has been passed down from government to institution, to other institutions that decided to take action. Because just as we have it now, this thing wasn't as deadly as the other shits that we didn't have. SARS, the bird flu, swine flu. Even though those were, you know what I'm saying, to a certain extent hyped as well, but by definition, by like, they weren't as deadly. So we go from that to, nigga, we gonna cancel the NBA? I just, you know. Tom and Rita Hanks got it. They over in Australia. Freaking Tom Hanks got it. Tom Hanks and Rita Hayworth, I'm sorry. It's her name as an actress, but yo, shit's crazy, man. So, again, I'm gonna read this shit again, you know. You can protect yourself by washing your hands frequently and avoiding touching your face. Because what happens is it goes in through your mouth, nose, or your eyes, and then it works its way down into, you know, your respiratory, your lungs. Again, I'm gonna read this again, y'all. I'm sorry. You can protect yourself by washing your hands frequently and avoiding touching your face. I got a bad habit of touching my face. I'm sure we all do. But, you know, at the very least, wash your hands thoroughly. And, you know, y'all, man, be safe. I hate that this is a thing. I don't want to be too conspiracy theorist on this, but and I don't want to be that guy, because this thing is taking, when you look at the market, when you look at how this thing was rolled out, diseases like this just feel intentional. It just feels intentional. We got a new coronavirus that we've never had before. Like, come on. This shit just ain't come from China with no doubt. Like, come on. I mean, and honestly, look at AIDS. Like, you think AIDS, just like Dave Chappelle had a joke in one of his specials. Also, sidebar. I will implore you to go watch Live from DC and Killing Them Softly. I think one's a half hour, one's an hour special from Dave Chappelle. It's not the same Dave Chappelle, but they are funny as shit. And they're around about the time that the Chappelle show was on. But anyway, Chappelle said in one of those specials, he was like, so y'all expect us to believe that AIDS came from a dude having sex with a monkey? Word? He said, I'm sorry, man. A monkey is... like, you had sex with a monkey, you made a life choice. You know. But really, like, that's what that's where AIDS came from. stop it. Shit was creative, man. Like how, and this is the trick bag, right? The trick bag is like so, and they've stopped this since then, but for me, from kindergarten to 12th grade, what you have to say in the morning. You have to stand up, look towards the flag, put your hand over your heart, and say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So 200 days a year for 13 years straight, 14 for others. What does that do to a person? Well, it's an indoctrination of sorts. Right, it's built-in patriotism. So what happens is that you start to feel that just inherently, right? You start to, like, if there was something that you heard, you know, a conspiracy theory or that America was going to do or this or that, you'd be like, no, of course not, because I'm proud to be an American. Good, at least I know I'm free. You know what I mean? All beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesty, above the fruited plains, America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Really? Sorry for the singing, but like, really? God bless America? No, God bless the world, nigga, right? So all I'm trying to point out is patriotism, which can be dangerous. So, you know, I mean, think of this, and I know this is a far stretch, but I'm just telling you things that, like, at one point, America was going to blow up an airplane with Americans on it just so they can blame Fidel Castro and have a reason to storm Cuba and go get him. They hated him. Like, this was a real plan on the books, right? And I think I mentioned this part before. There was a gun that you could so the CIA created this gun which could shoot somebody, but it wasn't real bullets. Instead, they would shoot something in you and it would cause a heart attack and nobody could trace the hole or what caused the heart attack. Now, if I told you that just on some you and me having a conversation shit, you would be like, get out of here. Get out of my face with that. Here you go with that. But look it up. There's some guys testifying about it back in late 70s, I believe, or the early 80s. So I'm just giving you these examples because that's some clandestine shit that you would never even, and think we've done even more, right? Because we know about it. Those are the things that they're comfortable with, you know. Just understand that there's always something that you don't know. And this whole shit just feels weird. Now, saying it feels weird doesn't negate the fact that it's a very real thing. And that, again, wash your hands thoroughly. Keep from touching your face. So anyway, I feel like I've talked enough, almost too much on this. Shit just feels weird, that's all. Feels weird. Stock market crashing. Every store is out of toilet paper. Niggas, why? Toilet paper ain't gonna keep you alive, man. If you don't get some tuna, niggas stealing toilet paper. And I guess as I was listening to a podcast today, it was talking about, I guess it means like comfort, right? Toilet paper is synonymous with the comfort of living in, the first world problems, right, is not having freaking toilet paper, running out of toilet paper. But it's like, man, listen, Why is that what's out of stock? I almost ran to Trader Joe's once I heard the NBA shut down. I was like, yo, I need to go to Trader Joe's now. Stock up on some tuna, some rice, some pasta, oatmeal and shit. Anyway, don't panic. Remain calm. And wash your hands. Shit just feels weird, that's all. So that's it. That is episode 33. Weight update. I have cracked 249. I haven't cracked 249 in a long time. I'm probably less than that now. This last time I checked, it was Saturday. I feel good. What I'm doing now is on Monday, I try to go meatless. And I ain't gonna lie to you, just try not eating meat for 2 days. If you're somebody like, watch how good you feel. It's insane how like light you feel, how the aches, you know, at least for me, like I said, I got old basketball injuries, back, my neck and my back, no, my back, my knees, and just aches and pains in general, and shit just, you know, I just feel better. So Mondays I go meatless, and I try to, do salmon a couple times. I guess you gotta watch your cholesterol or whatever, which I gotta get my check. Anyway, I'm down to 249, I feel good. It's about noticing your habits, y'all. I'm trying to create other habits. Tiny habits, I guess. You gotta know your patterns, man. You gotta know who you are. You gotta know what you like to do. And you gotta figure out how to change. It's up to you. It's hard, but it's up to you. So, you know, that's about it. I'm still writing. I'm almost where I need to be as far as just, you know, being able to move from the day to day. I'm still a bit restricted. Work and life wise, dream wise, but I'm about 2 weeks away from life really changing for me. Getting back to, you know, what it was when I first moved here. So, or at least being able to get back on that track. Right now, I'm a train that's kind of falling off the track, and it's going to take a big machine to kind of lift me up. But right now, I'm almost right side up, and, just wait to see what happens for me in the rest of this year, man. I'm feeling good now. You know, I still get down from time to time thinking about my problem is thinking about like the time that I've wasted, you know, and what I thought life was going to be versus what it actually is. But it's like you can't like. You know, you can't really dwell on that. It's only forward, right? So I feel good, though. I feel good about stuff coming up. I feel good about my chances. I feel good about life. So, can't wait for y'all to see what's going on. Because what it's going to do, it's like you have a record of me saying stuff that I wanted to do, whether it's losing weight or writing or selling a TV show, you know what I mean, or booking a role in a film. I appreciate you rocking with me. Sorry about the missed week. My ratings probably gonna go down this week, but it's all good. And I got some more content coming soon. Hopefully y'all like another podcast. I ain't gonna tell you what it's about. Well, it's kind of like, anyway, I ain't gonna tell you what it's about. I'm gonna just let you see, it's going to pop up on that ass. Probably have definitely going to have a co-host and all that good shit. So anyway, we gone, man. As always, wash your hands and try to keep from touching your face. Also, Every moment you have the opportunity to move forward into growth or to fall back into comfort. David Ashley, episode 33. Peace. I think I said peace like it was 1992.